This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Robert Knight, a senior writer and D.C. correspondent for Coral Ridge Ministries. He's also a senior fellow at the American Civil Rights Union. We want to get his thoughts on the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals actually staying the decision from a U.S. District Court judge on gay marriage in the state of California. Last week, Judge Vaughn Walker had said that his earlier decision to legalize gay marriage in the state and overturn Proposition 8 would immediately go into effect, effective on Wednesday, August 18th. But now the court says that it will hold off on implementing that decision until the appeals process is completed. And Bob, it's always great to have you with us.
Well, Greg, thank you. It's always good to be on your program. And I will say this about the Ninth Circuit. They're like a stop clock. They get it right about twice a day. And we can't expect more from them than that, but they got this right. They should delay it and take a harder look at this and not start these phony gay marriages because of one ill-advised judge who has a stake in it himself, Vaughn Walker, overturning the will of the people of California. This was a kangaroo court from the beginning. He rigged it to get the result he wanted. And I think if they actually look at the law, and how the plebiscite was conducted to amend the Constitution, they'll find no laws were broken, no constitutional rights were abridged, and they should uphold Proposition 8.
You said, though, that the court's right about twice a day, meaning that for the most part it's not right. It is the most liberal court in the country. It's the one that gets reversed most by the U.S. Supreme Court. So what are you expecting once this case actually goes there on appeal?
Well, you know, some observers are actually saying, oh, yeah, the Ninth Circuit is so far to the left, of course it'll uphold the judge and say gay marriage is the law of the land, and it'll have to go to the Supreme Court. Others are saying, nope, their hands are going to be tied because the way the case was conducted, it was conducted by the pro-marriage side on such narrow legal grounds, i.e., do the people of California have the right to amend their constitution to define marriage as it's always been? Seems like a pretty straightforward proposition, and anything else brought into court, all the junk science and everything else they presented, really has no bearing on the central legal question. So if they stick to the law, even the Ninth Circuit ought to get this right. But if they don't, it's going to be very interesting if it goes up to the U.S. Supreme Court with new justices Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor and swing vote Anthony Kennedy. Now, he's the real wild card in the deck because he wrote the Lawrence v. Texas decision overturning sodomy laws that were placed on the books by duly elected lawmakers in Texas. And he did it did so partly by citing international law and international reports, which I think should be beyond the scope of the Supreme Court. They take an oath of office to uphold the U.S. Constitution, not what international elites think.
Let's talk briefly about the significance of the appeals court stepping in here and staying this decision from taking effect. What would have happened, Bob, if folks had been allowed to go forward with so-called gay marriage in California, but then later, whether at the appellate court or at the Supreme Court, the justices decided on the side of those in favor of Proposition 8 and the traditional definition of marriage?
Well, that's pretty sticky, because you're saying, well, we're conveying a right and status on people, and then we're yanking it away, and that's usually harder to do, which is why they tried to rush it. This is why the judge wanted to deny standing, even to the Prop 8 people who put it on the ballot. He was actually saying they shouldn't have standing. I don't know who else would deserve standing more than the people who actually created the Prop 8. And then he wanted to rush through the enforcement on Wednesday. So the Ninth Circuit did the right thing in saying, well, hold on, the consequences are huge for this undertaking, and it needs a thorough legal sifting. But I think they're trying. It's like when you squat on somebody's property. It's harder to get somebody out than to keep them out in the first place. And I think the gay activists were hoping to rev up the emotional scenes that the media faithfully reproduce with headlines like "Gay Activists Hail Advent of Gay Marriage" and so forth. End of ban. And by the way, Greg, the use of the word ban in connection with this marriage law is absurd, and you see it everywhere. This is not a ban on anything. It's the definition of marriage as it really is in the law, the union of a man and a woman. We wouldn't say a dog license is a ban on cats having licenses. No, we're just defining what qualifies. For them to turn a good, positive good that the government recognizes into a negative, that it's a ban, is a trick of public relations, and virtually the entire media have fallen for it. So whenever you see that term used, just smile a little bit.
Well, that's certainly one of the arguments you made in your most recent article, Bob. And another one was that you believe that if this is implemented, certainly nationwide, but even in, as it pertains to California in this case, that once it's in effect, not only will it obviously be the law of the land, but any dissent will be actively crushed. Explain why you think that's going to be the way it goes.
Well, we already have examples in the Massachusetts where Catholic Charities was forced out of the adoption placement business because of gay marriage. In the District of Columbia, where Catholic Charities said, well, we can't abide by the district law because we don't think a child ought to be placed in a same-sex household. And you see it elsewhere where this has crept in. If you put a counterfeit in the law, you have to enforce acceptance of that, and that's characteristic of tyrannies, totalitarian countries. So if you put the counterfeit of gay marriage in the law, you will automatically turn traditionalists into outlaws. They'll be told, gee, I'm sorry, you can't have that job, you can't have that government contract, you'll be harassed at school, your children will be taught that there's no special advantage in having a mom and a dad. I mean, the consequences are endless. So when people say, oh, who does it hurt? Who does it affect if two gay people want to get married? Everybody else in society has a stake in this.
Bob, any idea on how long it's going to be till we get a resolution in this case or potentially the one that happened up in Massachusetts where the Defense of Marriage Act was struck down?
I think they've set aside a decision until December after the election, which is real interesting. So it'll be a couple months. And in the meantime, we're probably going to hear a lot more propaganda about the joys of gay marriage and why anyone who opposes it is the equivalent of a racist or a bigot. We're seeing a lot of this, Greg, this accusation against the average American for having any beliefs at all. If you don't think a mosque ought to be built at ground zero, you're some kind of religious bigot. If you think marriage really is the union of a man and a woman, you're some kind of bigot and full of hate at that. It's just that the elites in the media and in politics are continually assailing the American people just for having heartfelt beliefs. And at some point, the American people, when they get a chance, are going to let the elites know how they really feel about them.
Well, it's very interesting that this is being postponed until after the election. I know back in 2004, a spate of decisions on this really had an impact on a lot of national races, including the presidential race. Bob, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thanks, Greg, for having me on.
Absolutely. Bob Knight is a senior fellow at the American Civil Rights Union. He's a senior writer and Washington correspondent for Coral Ridge Ministries. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.